You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, today, we are going to continue in a series of messages on freedom, summer of freedom, and we're picking up from last week, free to be humble. We're talking about this summer how to be free from our sin and from ourself, how to be free from the habits and the hurts that mess up our lives, and how we can experience the power of God to make the changes that need to be made. Now, here's a key scripture, and it's James chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "But he gives more grace." Everybody say, more grace. How many are glad for grace, but how many are glad there's even more grace? I'm one of those people, I need extra grace. I need more power. I need more grace. He gives more grace, but listen, he gives it to who? The humble. Those that declare their need of him. Those that walk with surrendered hearts. He gives more grace to the humble. He opposes, the Bible says this, therefore God opposes the proud, but he gives grace. So this whole idea that we're talking about, and talking about how to live in humility, the opposite of humility obviously is pride, how we can walk free from pride, crucifying our flesh, and walk in humility, recognizing that if we're a proud, arrogant people, here's what happens. We're in opposition to God. I don't want to be at odds with God. I don't want to, stand in opposition to him. I don't want him to be my opponent. I want to be on his team. I want to be his teammate. And so God gives more grace to those who are humble, but he opposes those who are proud. Grace is the power to change. The Bible says that the key to power is humility, and the barrier to power is pride. Because when I'm full of pride, I can't change. But when I'm full of humility, I have the power to change. And I'm hitting a little bit right here. We're gonna make it through this entire message, but we're laying foundation. Some of these things we've talked about, some of them are going to be new. So listen closely, but I want you to understand this. Two kinds of pride. There's the good pride, and there's the arrogant pride. The good pride is that which takes pride in a good way. It takes confidence in. It's that which has a sense of respect and dignity and satisfaction in a job well done. So if I use the illustration, if I mow my yard and I look and I think, man, that looks good. I worked hard. I take satisfaction. I wash my car and it's shining. I take satisfaction in a job well done. Whatever the case might be. I take satisfaction in it. Now, here's the thing about good pride. Good pride does not only take satisfaction in a job well done, but I'm able to take satisfaction in the job that Bob does. Bob does something, and I'm happy for him. And there's that sense, man, I'm proud of you, Bob. That is so awesome. You did so good. And I rejoice with him. Now, see, arrogant pride can't rejoice with Bob because I'm in competition with Bob. See what I'm saying? But a healthy self-respect, I look at Bob and I think, wow, that is so awesome. And I'm able to identify even with Ecclesiastes, to rejoice with those that rejoice. And I'm able to rejoice with him. How many understand what I'm talking about? But then there's this kind of pride that is an arrogant pride. It's a conceit an egotism, and it's in competition with, and I'm comparing, and I'm always trying to be better and rise above, and I'm trying to make it all about me. And we've all met people like that. We all know people like that. How many of you know someone just like that? And the rest of you, I know you know someone like that. It's just your arm is around someone and you can't get it lifted, all right? We all know someone like that. You know, here's the issue. Here's the issue with pride. Is been said egotism and pride is a sickness, and it really affects everyone around you. Egotism is the only disease that when you've got it, it makes everyone sick but you. It's that attitude of superiority, that kind of pride that says, I'm better. For what? For whatever reason. Sometimes we think we're better because we may be more educated than someone. Or we may feel like we're smarter than them. And you may have a higher IQ, you may be smarter, you may have greater education. And so you're condescending in how you view other people. You think that somehow you're better than them. Maybe money. Sometimes people with affluence can think somehow they're blessed because they have money and they feel like they're better than someone who doesn't. And I always remind you of this, that financial ability does not equate, financial maturity does not equate to spiritual maturity. Just because you're financially mature doesn't mean you're spiritually mature. But, and we can be very condescending. Now, on the opposite side, sometimes if we don't have much, we can be very prideful. I always think of this. My dad, and you've heard me talk about our family, on my dad's side of the family, and on my mom's, we were very poor. And Dad said, you know, we were kind of the poor of the poor type of people. He said, so folks would bring their hand-me-down overalls over to my dad's house. He said, but just because we were poor didn't mean that Bessie Franks, my grandma, didn't have pride. And he said, when you brought those overalls over the house and knocked on the door, he said, you better be careful how you present those to Bessie because she might tell you what you can do with those overalls. So you might have a lot or you might have little. And pride becomes an issue. For many, it's a position that they have. And they lord it over, so to speak. And that position, that power, they feel that somehow they are better. It might be talent. Well, I'm talented. I'm a talented musician, or I'm a talented writer, or you know, I'm a talented whatever it might be, leader. And when we have talents, and we're going to talk about this. Those talents, if we don't understand that they are God's gift and that we don't have anything unless God gives it to us, we can look and think that somehow we are better than others. Here's something we need to understand, and it's this. Pride is easy to see in other people, but it's really hard to see in ourselves. That's why we pray, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We're saying, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in me. And as I've gone through this the last couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks, I see areas that I go, man, God, I never realized how many things I take credit for that have nothing to do with me. It's just your grace working in me. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Let me go through these quickly. These were our three primary foundational statements concerning what pride causes. Pride causes immaturity. Obviously, when we are filled with pride, we can't learn. We think that we know it all. And of course, it's what you learn after you know everything that really matters. And so we're constantly learning. Here's the issue, is when we don't have motivation to learn, to grow, develop, or change, then there's no growing that takes place. We don't think we need this message. We don't think that we've got it all together. I can control my life. Here's what the Bible says. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So if you think you know it all, the Bible has some very stern words. If you're wise in your own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than there is for you. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:17, whoever heeds instruction is on the pathway to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Do you heed instruction? See, anyone willing to be corrected, anyone willing to be corrected, either by constructive criticism or just by the situations of life or by the Holy Spirit, if you are willing to be corrected, then you have great hope. See, pride keeps us from getting help, whether that be in marriage, whether it be in finance, whether it be in raising our children. The whole idea is this. Many people would rather look smart than be smart. And so the way to be smart is what? It's to be humble. Here's the second thing. Pride causes conflict. By insolence, Proverbs 13:10, comes nothing but strife, but those who take advice is wisdom. We'll park here long, but just remember this. All conflict and disharmony is pride. When we act out of pride, what happens? We become demanding. We want it my way. My way is the right way. We become obnoxious. We become rude. We'll get angry, we'll yell, we'll become demeaning in our words, we hold grudges, we keep score, we're unsympathetic, we explode, all because somebody opposes us or we don't get our way. Let me ask you this, have you ever seen prideful people ordering in a restaurant? Have you ever seen prideful people in the customer service line at Walmart? They are so demanding. There's no sense of, you know, we had an issue with this and got it home and it didn't work, or got it home and it wasn't what we needed. It's more of a demeaning tone. You worthless person, just give me my money. I've been waiting in line. And it's just, we're so rude to people. Rudeness, listen to me, it comes out of pride. The things that I see on Facebook absolutely makes me cringe at how rude people can be, and they just want to put out there, this place is horrible. I'm like, please take off that you go to Christian Life, the Island Church. Don't tell people. You're hurting us. You are so rude. It's amazing how much conflict there is and anger. And really, I believe it's this. I believe that it comes out of pride. I love this verse. And it's Matthew 7 and verse 5 says, You hypocrite, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You know, demanding, rude, prideful, arrogant. He's saying, take that log out of your own eye. Another way of saying that is this. Don't judge others because they sin differently than you. Amen. Here's the third thing. Let me just say this. So much of family conflict could be solved if someone was willing to humble themselves. If someone was willing to say, okay, enough, I'm sorry. Whether you're right or wrong, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to fight. Let's figure out a way. If someone would just lower the tone and someone would be willing to lead in humility, the joy that might come back to a home. Can anybody say amen? Here's the next thing, and it's this. Pride causes there to be stress and anxiety. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. A lot of stress and anxiety is this, is people worrying too much about their image. And when we worry about our image and what other people think about us, it's exhausting. It produces all kinds of stress. When people are more interested in status, how they look, Proverbs 29 and verse number 25 says, the fear of man lays a snare. It lays a snare. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek. Happy. Blessed means happy. Happy are the meek. When we are meek or humble, if you will. Pride can cause depression. I know there's a number of reasons why people have depression. I know there's some psychological reasons, the chemical imbalances, physiological reasons. But a lot of what is happening in America when we say, I'm just depressed, or I'm just so down, or I'm just so discouraged, has nothing to do with that, but it's pride. I'm trying to live one image on the outside, but I'm different on the inside. And remember, humility is the mark of an emotionally healthy person. Pride is the mark of an emotionally insecure person. So, how can we be free to be humble? And here's what I want us to focus in on this morning. Number one is this: admit my weakness. Admit my weakness. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Now, usually we use that passage of Scripture when we're talking about sin at some level. Usually we don't think of pride, but pride is sin. It's one of the seven deadly sins. We'll talk in just a little bit. Pride is the reason Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. Pride is the reason that Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And so when we are willing to acknowledge, confess, forsake, then we receive mercy. If I was just willing to admit, what keeps me from admitting? I've got issues. It's my pride. Maybe you heard about the young teenage boy who had an older sister, and he admitted to his sister, he said, I'm guilty of the sin of vanity. His older sister said, how could you be guilty of the sin of vanity? He said, every time I see a mirror, I look into it and I think, what a hunk. She said, that's not sin, that's ignorance. That's why God gave me two older sisters to keep me humble right there. Thank God for those that keep us humble. You know, this idea that if I've sinned, God, if I've sinned, please forgive me. Well, let me help you on that prayer. Pray it this way. Not if I've sinned, but God, I've sinned, forgive me. This if See, we have weakness. We are frail. We're not as strong as we think we are. And so to go before the Lord rather than, you know, God, I'm pretty good, but if I've had something going on, it's more of God, have grace, have mercy on me. Which leads us into this. Be realistic. Here's the second thing. Be realistic about my strengths. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Be realistic. Here's the second thing. Admit my weakness, and then be realistic about my strengths. Now listen closely. Pride is based on a false evaluation of ourself. Humility is based on truth and realism. And what do we know? We'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So if we base our life off of truth, we're realistic, we're truthful, then we walk in freedom. The reason pride binds us is because there's no truth in it. It's an unrealistic evaluation or idea. Humility doesn't mean that you're putting yourself down. Humility is not thinking, oh, poor me. I'm nothing. I'm no one. I really don't have any talent or any ability. I'm nobody. Oh, how many grew up in a small, old-fashioned church? Anybody in this room? You might relate to this. But when I was growing up, my dad would say, "Anybody have a song tonight?" And someone would come forward, and here's what they'd say. "Well, I didn't have time to prepare, but the Lord put this song on my heart. Now, don't look at me and don't listen to me, because I'm nothing. You just listen to the words of this song." Anybody understand that? And, of course, you sit there and you think, "Dear Lord, I wish they'd have had time to practice." Of course, there's that whole idea, if you're nobody or you're nothing and you can't sing, then what are you even doing up there? But humility is not this, "Well, I'm just nothing. Don't listen to me. Don't look at me." No, it's being realistic in your evaluation. See, you're something. You're valuable. Somebody say amen. God created you. You're created in His image. He blew into man's nostrils the breath of life. Jesus didn't die for "I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, I'm not worth anything." Jesus died for you. Amen. That's an amazing thing. As well, God has given us talents, and He's given us abilities. And He's given some people more talents and abilities than others, but all of us have something. Some of you are very talented in areas. Some of you are talented maybe in one area. Be honest about your talents. See, I recognize this. I have a few talents, but I also have a bunch of weaknesses. And so in this whole idea of free to be humble, be realistic about my strengths, but I'm also being realistic about my weaknesses. That humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weakness and being realistic about your strength. I don't know which service. I only mentioned this in one of the services last week. And I don't know if it's this one or the second, but I'm going to use this again. It's the little girl who's at Baskin Robbins, and she ordered a large ice cream. And the man behind the counter said, "Are you sure you can eat all that ice cream?" She said, "Oh, yes, I'm much bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." Well, see, pride, now listen closely, pride is when we pretend that we're much bigger on the outside than we are the inside. We're trying to be something we're not. Listen to this. This is such an awesome verse. Galatians 6:4. "But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor." See, what he's saying there, look at your own life, but don't compare. That's the problem. You can look at your own life, test your own work. You have any reason to boast in a good way, in a sense that, I take joy. I'm rejoicing that this did good. It worked out. But I'm not comparing. See, you can take pride in yourself and a job well done. Listen to me. Pride in yourself, a job well done, as long as you don't compare. But when you start comparing, here's what happens. You're always going to find someone that you're better than, and you become prideful. And you're always going to find someone who's better than you, and you become discouraged. Don't compare yourself. Let me break it down real simple. The Bible is basically saying this: pride is dumb. It really is, because you see, when we have pride, we start comparing, and it's dumb to compare. We forget how unique we are, that God made us, that there's no one else like us. There's not another fingerprint like my fingerprint. Just like no two snowflakes are the same, God has made us all different. We're not the same. And if you're not you, then who's going to be you? God made you to be an influence in your world. And so we become so competitive. And that's what our nation's built on. And everything is about competition. And what ends up happening is it becomes a pride issue of I'm better than you. And it becomes very, very unhealthy. Here's the third thing that I want to tell you. Be grateful for any success. Be grateful. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have? This is 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? See, everything comes from God. But we act like, I did it. I am awesome. But what does it say? For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you didn't receive? Well, I'm a self-made man. God gives the ability to make wealth. Well, I'm talented. God's the distributor. Listen, I'm just one vocal cord away of being an amazing singer. He just didn't give me that. Somehow, Luke got it. I didn't get it. But where did it come from? All these gifts came from God. Where did you get your mind? If you're highly intelligent, highly educated, gifted, where did you get that mind? God gave it to you. Yeah, you had to work and develop it, but God gave you the ability. See, some of you can figure some things out that in all the work I can do in all my life, I'll never get it. But you can get it. How come? God gave you that ability. So who gave you your mind? Who gives you time and energy and talent? How many of you got to choose your own genes, your chromosomes, or your DNA? You didn't choose those. Where'd they come from? You were born with them. You didn't choose your parents. These things were all out of our control. See, every gift is from God. Somebody say amen. Every gift is from God. What you do with that gift is your gift back to God. But every gift is from God. You realize in your success that it all comes from God. That's why I pray this often. Pray it with our young people before they leave. Pray it with people involved in ministry. God, help us to be good reflectors of the glory of God. So when people say, man, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Boy, God's good. God gives us strength. God helps us. Rather than, well, thank you. I know I'm kind of special. No. To him be all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen? But Pastor, you don't know how hard I work. Thank you for working hard with the gift that God gave you. Now give God the thanks for that. But see, pride is taking the credit. Where did I get the energy to work hard? Where did I get any talent? Where did I get the ability? James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. Coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We need to remember our roots. We need to remember where we've been. We need to remember our past, what's influenced us as we climb the ladder. Remember this, the person who gets too big for his britches will eventually be exposed in the end. You like that one? All right, well, here's another one for you. When you're succeeding in life, remember the lesson of the well. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when you get harpooned. 1 minute you're the hero, the next minute you're the zero. There's only 12 inches between a halo and a noose. So be grateful for any success. Here's the next thing. How many are glad you came to church? Amen? Live unselfishly. I love this verse. I love this. This could be life verse. Philippians 2:3-8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the cross. Wow. That's a series. That is a series of messages. Decide to live like Jesus lived, who though he was God, became a man. He humbled himself. Jesus is the most emotionally healthy person who ever lived. He didn't have anything to prove. You don't see pride rise up in him. Jesus, he was God. He was God. And he humbled himself and he came to this earth and he did not demand to be served. But he said, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Listen, humble people can serve others. Insecure people can't serve others. They're too worried about their own needs. And prideful people think only of themselves. Luke, join me, would you please? Here's the last thought. Humble yourself daily. Humble yourself daily. How many of you, God has, you've had the privilege to have God humble you? It's not pretty, is it? It can be to us embarrassing. But God has a way of putting me in my place. When I am filled with pride and arrogance, but the Bible says this, if we humble ourselves. James 4, 6 through 8, verse 10, but he gives more grace. Therefore, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Isn't it interesting? That's all in the context of he gives more grace. And that God opposes the proud. Look at the context of that scripture about drawing near to God. What's the obstacle in drawing near to God? It's pride. What's the key to drawing near to God? It's submitting yourself. It's more grace. Now watch this. Verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. There's a promise here. There's a promise here. I should have preached it in the covenant series because it's a covenant promise. Because when we do our part, God always does his part. Amen? If you humble yourself, our part, God's part, he will lift you up. Amen. Oh, that'll make you happy right there. Covenant promise. So if you humble, you think, well, I've got to promote myself. Why don't you let God be your promoter? Oh, come on, that was worth shouting right there. Let God be your promoter. Let God lift you up. Let God put you in that place. How is that? Listen, the way up is down. Amen? But the opposite true. The way down is when you go up. Because you're going back down. You go up, you're going down. But if you will go down, God, oh, I love that. That is so awesome. I've got to close. Our time is gone. Let me close with this thought. The cure for pride is this. I'd never thought of this. This is so new and fresh to me. The cure for pride is to discover how much God really loves you. How does that cure pride? Because underneath pride is a deeper problem. Pride is a massive cover for insecurity and inferiority and inadequacy. And every prideful person, that's really what's underneath. But when you realize how much God loves you, it washes the insecurity away. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. I never put the two together. Man, that spoke to my heart. I just never saw that. Because I really think if we knew how much God loved us, we had that epiphany I talk about so often. There's nothing I can do that'll make God love me more. Nothing I can do to make God love me less. That I really understand unconditional love. And I begin to live in his love and his forgiveness and his grace. then it washes that pride away, because love is not patient, or love is patient and kind. Love, it doesn't envy and boast. It's not arrogant.